I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So on this second Sunday of Easter, we always hear the story of poor Thomas, whose very rational, very human, very traumatized brain cannot at first believe the good news of Easter or the good news of Jesus' resurrection. Through the centuries, Thomas has been known for his demand for proof, to see with his own eyes that his friend and teacher has actually come back from the dead. Thomas's request isn't honestly all that unbelievable itself. Consider what he's gone through in just the span of 1 week. He presumably was with the disciples when Jesus entered joyously into Jerusalem on what would become Palm Sunday. He saw those adoring crowds. He heard the praises and the hymns that they were singing. He watched as people made a path for Jesus through the city with palm branches and their own cloaks. Thomas was with Jesus through that last fateful week. Thomas had his feet washed by Jesus. Thomas heard Jesus' final message of love preached to his closest friends on what they did not know yet would be their final meal with him. Thomas, of course, watched as Judas betrayed Jesus and sold them out to the religious leaders and to Rome. And if Thomas did not stay with Jesus through his trial and the mock proceedings of justice that followed, as most of the disciples did not, he has at least heard the story. He knows what happened. He knows that Jesus has been killed. He knows that he is very afraid of the same people who killed Jesus. He knows that Jesus has been carried away and laid in the tomb. He knows that the stone has been rolled over the tomb and that it has been sealed. He knows that Jesus is dead, and he knows that death is final. But now Thomas is hearing news stories, perhaps first from the women who were the first to hear the story of Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, but now he's hearing it from the disciples, strange stories about how maybe death isn't so final after all. He finds all of it too good to be true, too much to believe, and he demands for himself proof. After everything he's been through, Thomas now can only believe his own senses, his own judgment, his own experiences, if he's going to believe what he's hearing about Jesus. And when we look at the text that we have this morning, what Thomas is asking for isn't all that different from what the disciples actually got. They too heard the story of Jesus' resurrection from the women, but failed to believe it. They too are scared in a locked room when Jesus appears to them. They too are offered to see Jesus' hands and his side. They too are offered proof of what happened and what they believed had really taken place. Thomas only demands the same experience that the other disciples got with Jesus. In our Bible study on Tuesday, one of the members pointed out that it's great that Scripture has stories of human beings being human beings, having human thoughts and having difficulty understanding the magnitude of what they're doing, what they're experiencing when they're working with the divine. It allows us so much more easily to enter into this story with our own human limitations and expectations, to allow our imaginations to place us in that room too. To know that if we struggle with the scope of this story of God triumphing over death, we struggle with this story of seeing the extent of God's love and God's power played out in the resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus' own disciples struggled first. One of my favorite aspects of this story, of this interaction between Jesus and his disciples, is the fact that Jesus still bears the scars of what he's been through. His hands, his side, presumably his feet, all of them still bear the markings of the violence and the death that he endured. It is by these scars that he identifies himself to the disciples. It is by these scars that Thomas comes to see and believe in the risen Lord. These scars are such an important part of the story. The events of Holy Week, the crucifixion of Jesus, the death of Jesus have not been erased. They haven't been washed away. Instead, they have changed everything. They have transformed everything. It's not just Jesus's body, of course, that's been transformed, but the whole of creation, all of humanity, all of our possibilities and our hopes, our shortcomings and our failings, our tendencies towards waywardness and abandonment of God, our proclivity to choose sin over love, all of it is caught up in this transformative act of love that was Jesus's death on the cross. Nothing in all creation comes away from the cross and the empty tomb unchanged. Nothing is the same, and the scars that Jesus bears, the scars that he so lovingly shows his friends, become the proof of just how loved they are, the proof of just how loved we are, the proof of how far God is willing to go to make sure that not just his tomb stands empty, but that one day all tombs and all graves will stand empty forever. Ministry so often flows out of scars, both the physical ones that we have, but the metaphorical ones that we sustain. The things that happen to us, the things that mark us and change us and transform us, are the grounds through which we connect more fully and more deeply with other people. They're the grounds for which we offer our own transforming work of reconciliation and love. The pain of Good Friday, the fear and the anxiety of Holy Saturday, the joy and the triumph of Easter, we know all of these things have forever marked and changed the disciples. These experiences will be for them touch points as they continue Jesus' ministry of redemption and as they go on to found the church. We can easily assume that Thomas's own experiences will mark him for the rest of his life, will change him and will transform him, and they will change and transform the ministry that he will embark on going forward. We can so easily imagine that Thomas will remember what it was like to move from doubt to belief, so easily believe that Thomas, who had met his skepticism with love, knows how to meet other people's skepticism with love now too. As Thomas and the other disciples gathered in that locked room, they were called into ministry with Jesus Christ, and they will surely remember what it feels like to move from unbelief into a fuller relationship with God. Who knows? Only God knows how many lives Thomas touched after that moment, how many people he shared the story with of God's good news, the good news of Christ. Thomas knew what it took to bring him from unbelief into faith, and now he can so much more effectively do the same for others. Thomas was marked and transformed by Christ's love, and now the people that he ministered to can be transformed as well. We too are invited to use our own experiences with God as places from which we can minister to other people. We, like Thomas, do not come away from our encounters with Jesus unchanged or not transformed. I can promise you God has shown up in your life in all sorts of unique and interesting ways. In the news of the resurrection and the incarnation, the good news of those, we believe that God is always with us. God celebrates with us. God grieves with us. God laughs with us. God waits quietly with us. God is with us in all things. And thus, God invites us to use those experiences, to use the ways we have been transformed by God's presence in our lives, to be more deeply and fully present with each other, to show up for each other in all those moments, and to help point each other towards God's presence, even when it's hard for us to see God. Thomas is forever changed by his encounter with Jesus. The same Jesus who lovingly helped Thomas move from skepticism to belief. He showed him his scars, the scars that prove just how loved Thomas is and just how loved we are. For the rest of Thomas's life, he ministered out of and through that love. And it is that love, that same divine love, that we in our own time are called to minister to others in as well. Amen.